thing, not knowing whether this part is actually going to be recorded. Oh, party. Oh, it's party, right? Anyway, to join the party, we've got Fizzy. And we're on the air live, which is extremely exciting, so people tell me. Anyway, so yeah, we were going to talk about the transfer window. I'm not going to give you a menu of things to expect. I may put them up in a written format. But, yeah, so just tell us. I mean, most people are talking about the transfer of Thomas Partey. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I'm very pleased. I think we're signing a player that's coming into his prime years. And, you know, he's 27. He's played Champions League football at Atletico Madrid. And for me, it's a signing that's been a while coming. You know, I think Arsenal fans have, you know, bemoaned the fact that we haven't had a Vieira or Gilberto-type player in the midfield. Some sort of physicality in the midfield. I think, you know, if you think back to a few years ago, we had didn't really have that strength, that sort of steel in midfield. We signed Torreira in the hope that he could possibly add that, but I don't think he did. And Partey seems to be that signing. I think we were all crying out for it. I was surprised. I remember seeing the news flash up on my account, on my Twitter, that we were interested in him. And then it became reality. I'm absolutely buzzing. I really do think this signing is another massive big piece of the puzzle that for Arsenal to sort of challenge, you know, for the league. You know, I don't think we're going to challenge the league this year, but I certainly do think this puts our challenge for top four. You know, it gives us a lot of confidence, and I think it's a massive player. You know, it's a huge player for us to sign. I'm really, really pleased. I'm speaking to some other Gooners, and we're all absolutely buzzing about it. We're absolutely buzzing about this. It really does see, like, this transfer window as a whole has been pretty successful.
Yeah.
You know, if we think about, you know, we signed Uber to a long-term contract. Willian, for a bit of, I think, creativity, because obviously Ozil isn't going to be playing much this season, if at all. Gabriel has come in, hit the ground running. He looks the real deal already. And then Partey, you know, you look at that spine now, that spine of the team with Leno, Gabriel, Partey and Uber. That's a strong spine. That's a very strong spine. And it gives us a lot of confidence going into the rest of the season, really. So, yeah, I'm absolutely chuffed. I did a bit of research on his data, his statistics. And one of the key sort of, obviously, his tackles, his recoveries are very, very good, as you would expect playing in the position that he did for Atletico Madrid, you know, one of those two defensive midfielders. He's got absolute, you know, he had Simeone as a manager, who's a shithouse of a player, you know, so he's learned the dark arts from Simeone. If you watched Atletico Madrid play, you know, they're very good at the defensive aspects of the game. And, you know, they beat Liverpool last year, so they're no mugs. But I really am sort of one of the key sort of statistics that strikes it is his running with the ball, his confidence and his ability to take on players. And I think in that regard, he's a bit similar to Ceballos. I think when Ceballos moves with the ball, he tries to break through those lines. That's when we're more likely to make chances. And I think Partey is a similar ilk. But then you throw into the mix as well that Partey, you know, physically, is an absolute specimen. So it should add something to the Arsenal midfield that I feel we've been lacking for a fair few years. One of the few weaknesses he's had, I think he's a bit rash. He's a bit clumsy when it comes to tackles occasionally, and I think he's not used to being pressured. The press, he's not used to it as much in the Spanish league, but I think that's something that he'll develop. Hopefully with Arteta, and I think he will acclimatise. The best players adapt to their surroundings, and I think he will. So, yeah, no, I'm very, very pleased. Where Arsenal got the money from, God only knows. I've been reading the blogs. The rumours are that I think Kroenke certainly might have helped with this investment, because, you know, we thought we'd have to sell before we could buy. That certainly was like the line that Arsenal was sort of feeding to the journos and everyone else. But we got the deal over the line. So yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, it makes a change getting deals over the line, because that wasn't the case, was it? And yeah, yesteryear.
Yeah, it does. Arsenal, yeah, no, you're right. Arsenal managed to sort of, if any other club, if I see Chelsea or not much, so much United anymore, but certainly Chelsea or City are in, or Liverpool are in for a player, like, oh, they signed him. They're probably going to sign him.
Yeah.
Arsenal, yeah, we can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory when it comes to transfers. We're really good at that. And I think it's interesting as well, we signed Raul Sanellini. I'm not sure if I said his name right.
A couple close of years enough.
Ago, he was supposed to be the fixer. He was supposed to be the man that would get deals across the line. When he left in June, July, due to, I think partly the Pepe deal was a big, was the finishing, the final nail in the coffin. There was a worry that Edu, he doesn't have that experience. He doesn't have that sort of, you know, he doesn't have these connections that Raul had. But I think Edu, to be fair to him, he's shown that he can do the business as well. So, yeah, no, I'm very, very pleased. It gives us confidence for the season.
You must be a smooth talker, Edu, to get that one over the line. I wanted to ask you about the physical attributes of this player, because the one thing I was thinking about is suddenly we're getting rid of... I mean, I like Torreira. I did like Torreira, but he's not a massive physical presence because he's so minute. Mainly, that's the reason. It's not his fault, you know. What's he supposed to do? Come out in high heels? That would look even worse. So, you know, basically, you know, it seems to me like it's going back to the idea that Arsenal were going to have a strong, like physically strong midfield, or at least one of them is going to be physically strong, like the old Petit Vieira midfield of you know during Wenger's. When Wenger was really good at what he did, you know, at that time, with a solid defence.
Double-winning team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The first double-winning team, you had Vieira and the team both used to sit.
Yeah.
They had a great sort of partnership in that one of them would sit, the other one would go forward. And it used to be Vieira would actually bomb forward a little bit more and Petit would sit. And I kind of see that happening with Arsenal. I kind of see Partey and... Yeah, the question is who will he sort of partner up with? But he can easily partner up with either Xhaka or Elneny, because I think both of those players have a preference to sit. They're not renowned for their sort of driving runs.
Yeah, true.
So Bios will be an interesting one because, yeah, if we were playing Football Manager, we would put easy decisions to Bios and Partey. They're the best two players in the midfield.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
But I think they're quite similar.
Yeah.
In some regards, I think they don't both like to sit, and they're both good at sort of driving forward. So they'll have to take some sort of communication, obviously, between those two. But yeah, looking at the stats, that you know, if you compare Partey to the current midfield that we have, you know, the amount of tackles I'm on Arsenal now, you know, prepare for this a little bit. So in terms of like tackles plus interceptions last year, Partey's only behind Ceballos. He's ahead of Torreira, Guendouzi and Xhaka.
Well,
in terms of recoveries, Partey is better than every single midfielder that we have, even better than Torreira. In terms of aerial duels won, Partey is better than every single midfielder that we have. And in terms of successful dribbles, Partey is better than every midfielder that we have, but he's not far, Ceballos isn't far behind him. And so I think you could argue, obviously, that's in the Spanish league, and I think that'd be a fair point. But these are against midfielders across all five, you know, all three, four of the main leagues. And I think, he offers quality, and I think he offers physicality. And, yeah, we certainly won't be as much as a pushover now. Because if you think about Gabriel, he's a big old lad as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually, yeah.
You know, we have that physicality now that I don't think we had. You think back to one of the Wenger teams, you know, the Fabregas, you know, even Gallus used to get bullied a bit.
He did a little.
He used to get bullied, and I don't think we'll have that as much now. I think Arsenal don't have that sort of timidness about them, you know. Obviously, that it has to be shown on the pitch. And we've got some tough games in the next three games to show that. I don't know how much Partey will play or how big his influence will be instantly. I think it'll take a bit of time. But, yeah, no, certainly, like, he's what we've been crying out for years. you know, I can think back to 10 years ago when Vieira and Gilberto left. I think it was Gilberto, really, when he left. It was kind of like, we need that sort of, that player that breaks up the play, that puts the boot in, that sort of does the ugly stuff and keeps the ball moving. I think Xhaka, he does keep the ball moving. He's good at that. He's a bit of a crab at times.
Yeah.
He does pass sideways. I think Elneny as well. Like, they're not shy to put the boot in. It's not what they're renowned for. I think Xhaka's renowned for his passing. To be honest, I think he's a fantastic passer of the ball. And Elneny played really well against Sheffield United. I think he's one of the better players.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Arteta's going to do it. But no, I'm over the moon. Like, I think in terms of creativity, because there's always that going to be, we're never going to get both Partey and Aouar, or whatever his name is, the lad from the French team.
I always call him Aouar, but I'm not sure it's right. That's what I'm going with.
You're probably right, mate.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I've been listening to my dad, so I can't guarantee that he's been saying it right either.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that one or the other. And I think how do you say it?
Well, I thought it was because I've been calling him Ouarouare, you know, like his Wurzel or something. Oh, okay. But I looked up the phonetic pronunciation, that's what it's supposed to be. But, you know, whether it's right, it's a whole different ballgame.
I think obviously he would bring some creativity to the team, which I think we are lacking at times from the middle. And I think, yeah, Arteta does want to eventually play 4-2-3-1, that formation. He plays 3-4-3 out of necessity, really, more than anything else. And I didn't watch the game on Sunday because I couldn't get a stream up from quarantine.
Mm.
But reading the blogs and whatever else, it seemed like we did play 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 against Sheffield United. So, yeah, certainly it's a great dilemma to have. And, I'm absolutely chuffed. I really, really am pleased. And so I think in terms of creativity, we have options there. We have Willian. There's always a possibility that Ceballos could play as like a 10. I don't know how effective he would be. I don't think it's his position.
Yeah.
But you've got Saka's playing there. You've got Willian. You've got Willock as well. So it's not perfect, but we always knew that we weren't going to get a perfect transfer window in terms of it's a process, isn't it? It's a project.
Mm.
But if you think back to where we were 10 months ago, then the squad has already massively improved.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's I was very, very pleased.
And talking of tens, of course, we can't have a podcast without talking about Ozil and all the latest with him.
No.
I sent you a message, about Stuart Robson saying that he said something along the lines of, why doesn't Ozil just put on the dinosaur outfit and he can take Gunnosaurus's place? I was laughing about that.
He's burnt his bridges there. Maybe the straw that broke the camel's back, obviously.
Yeah.
He didn't make the Europa League squad.
Oh, yeah. That didn't help.
I suspect he won't make the Premier League squad of 25 either. And I'm not sure what Arsenal are going to do, really. Like, do you want him on the training pitch? Because he's going to have a toxic sort of influence. It stems back, I think, from the pay cut. I think there was an element issue there. But I think he's been problematic. I think he is one of those players that he is motivated by an arm round him rather than a kick up the arse. And shouting at him doesn't seem to motivate him. And Wenger, I read something about Ramsey. They asked Ramsey on, I think it was like Soccer AM a few years ago. They said, who's the teacher's pet? Who's the manager's favourite player? This was under Wenger. And Ramsey said, Ozil can take days off for training and miss training. And he gets treated differently. And I think Wenger certainly did sort of allow Ozil to get away with much more than other players did. When Emery came in, obviously the new manager, he wanted to stamp his authority. He could see that Ozil wasn't sort of pulling his weight. And he dropped him. And then, but a few months later, he relents and Ozil's back in the team. So Emery looked weak. And I think that was one of many things that caused Emery's demise. I think his tactics, his inability to sort of explain himself was also that as well. But even Lundberg was in charge for five games. Lundberg had an issue with it.
And then Arteta
comes in, and Arteta has an issue with it. And I think the pay cut is a factor, because from both sides of the argument, I think it's a factor, because he refused to take a pay cut amongst a couple of other players. I think the two other players also refused to take a pay cut.
And interestingly, we never found out who they are. That was a strange thing.
Yes,
and then,
exactly.
And that was weird. And then, go on. It's just that Ozil, them not actually, I mean, that the fact that the news never broke about who those other players were, I think played into Ozil's hands a little bit. So, you know, I'm not trying to take Ozil's side on this, by the way, but not at all. But
no. He's allowed to feel victimized.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the club leaked that in the hope that he would get upset and leave. He didn't. He stood his ground. And as much as I dislike the person at the minute, he has every right to stay at that team.
He signed
a contract.
Exactly. So,
as much as I, as a person and as someone that loves football from day dot, can't fathom why I would be part of a team where I'm clearly not wanted. And I'm not doing what I love, which is playing football.
Exactly.
And I'm in the twilight years of my career. I'm 31. I'm going to be 32 next year. So I've got one last sort of sweetheart deal before I retire.
And
it's illogical. It's that he is entitled to stay at that club because he has signed the contract. So I understand why he's pissed off. Yeah, they leaked it. But then he hasn't played. Arteta clearly. And Arteta had a bit of a dig at him. He made a comment a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember. I think it was after the West Ham game. Or someone asked, a journo asked him, Ozil not playing. And he said, well, the team's evolving. And he kind of alluded to the fact that Ozil isn't changing with the times.
And
I think that's evident, isn't it? Really? That is Ozil. You know, you see those players, even when they play bad, they put their all in.
They put
their absolute all in. And you can see the effort. You can see the determination. You can see the spirit. And Ozil can never be accused of showing too much determination or spirit. But he's always managed to back it up with ability.
Yeah.
But, you would have to say that, he is not changing with the times. And I think that... And so, with the whole Gunnosaurus thing, why he did that, only he knows why he thought that would be a good idea. Or maybe he thought, fuck it. I'm staying at the club. They can't get rid of me. It was after the transfer window. They can't get rid of me. I've got this contract. I know I'm not going to play. He probably knew that he wasn't going to be part of the 25. So why not? Why not? And so it's Arsenal have got a situation now where what do you do with him? Because if I was Arteta, would I want him coming to training every day? No, he's sat on his arse. I've discussed with you before, maybe not on the podcast, about he's got a fortnight sort of addiction.
No, I've heard that as well, yeah. And you've said it, and I've seen it too.
They did the average, and they reckon he plays about 5-6 hours a day. Now, if you're a professional athlete, being sat in front of a computer
for that long,
hunched over, would not be good. Anybody moans about having a bad back. Well, I'm not surprised if he's hunched over playing Fortnite 5 hours a day. it's like, I'm not a professional athlete, and I struggle to play 5 hours of computer games a day. So, I don't know, do you know what I mean? So I think his career has just come to a very sort of sad, anticlimactic end. I'd love him to sort of put his finger out of his arse and, contribute to the team, because I think he has abilities that nobody else in that team has. He has star power that nobody bar maybe Aubameyang has.
Yeah.
So, but it's up to him, isn't it? It's like that naughty kid at school. You try and get them to sort of change, and you try and get them to sort of see the light. And, it will benefit them if they do well. It's the same with Ozil. I think it's not going to be good for him this time next year, what clubs are you going to be at if he carries on this sort of impasse? So, but we'll have to see how it develops, really. So I read a rumour, a friend of mine said that Arsenal supposedly trying to buy out, like basically buy out his contract, or buy out, get him out on loan somewhere and pay half his contract.
Yeah.
And pay half his wages.
I didn't do the maths on that.
Just get away from the team.
Yeah, the maths is, well, I don't know what the maths is. But say he's on, how good at maths are you off the cuff? But £350,000 a week.
His contract's 20 million a year.
20 million? Oh, okay. So the deal was that I read 13. They're offering him 13 to make a swift disappearance. I don't think he's going to take it, judging by the way he's been, you know, offering to pay Gunnosaurus' wages, for example. I mean, what do you feel about that? Him making that offer?
Was
it petulant? Yeah.
That's all it was.
Okay.
It was a fuck you to Arsenal.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was petty. It was classless. But it was a fuck you. It was like, I know I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do to me? Yeah, you have to by law pay me.
Yeah.
So it was a fuck you. That's honestly what I think it was. It was petty. It was like a child.
Yeah.
But in his mindset, he's like, well, what else can you take away from me? What else can you do to make our sort of my situation any worse?
But you heard his relationship with Arteta is quite good, apparently. He's fist bumping him, unless that's just for show. Did you hear that?
Well, ultimately, Arteta played with him, obviously as a player. So Arteta knows better than most how good Ozil can be. But I think, Arteta's, he's a new manager. He's got a sort of, he's got to make an impression. He's got to lay down the law. He has these non-negotiables. And if Ozil isn't meeting those non-negotiables, then Arteta has to stick to his guns, because he would have seen what happened with Emery.
Yeah.
Emery went back on his word. Emery said, Ozil, I'm getting rid of you. And then 3 weeks later, he plays him. And that showed players, Emery's decline happened very early on, but it was just like death by a thousand cuts. Arsenal can seem to sort of forego, keep on prolonging the torture for longer and longer. And I think Arteta would have known that. Arteta inherited a team of very unhappy players.
Oh, yeah.
These are players, you know what I mean? And I think players respond to leaders, players respond to being treated like adults, but they respond as well to clear, concise instructions. And I think Arteta has given them that. Arteta has said, this is what I want. If you do this, then you're in for a shout, sort of thing. If you work hard, if you do the things I want, then you've got a chance. And I think, and it's worked. You've seen the turnaround from Xhaka. You've seen the turnaround to a certain extent from Mustafi. They've tried their best, and they've worked at it. They've listened to what Arteta said, and it's borne fruit. So I don't think Arteta has a choice. But of course, from a personal level, of course, he can be friends with him. Well, not friends, I suppose, but he can like the man. But you have to separate that professional and personal, don't you?
But would you allow him to train with the rest of the team, given the situation?
No. I wouldn't. I think, I don't, the thing is, You ask a question like that. What I know, based on what I know, no, I wouldn't. But I think there's definitely things there that we don't know, and
we
probably won't know until 5-10 years down the line. So I'm not sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
But I am saying that I think we don't know the full story.
No, of course not.
Do you know what I mean? But
But based on what you know, it would be a no. I mean, for me as well, to be honest.
No, I think I can't see how having a player like that is good for anybody. Like, he doesn't want to play. If he wants to train,
he probably does want to play. I'd have to say, I think he wants to play, but he wants to play on his own terms. So he'd say, I'll run when I want to run, and I'll do what I want to do.
He's been mollycoddled for large parts of his career. And even at Arsenal, even under Wenger, he played. Some of the games I remember, I think it was the cup final against Villa when we won 4-0. He was absolutely outstanding. He was fantastic. But those games were far, few and far between. I don't remember him having a run of 10 games where he was brilliant in every game. I don't remember, you know. And, yeah, we have to remember, the amount of times we went up north to play the Uniteds, the Liverpools, the Cities, even Chelsea away. You know, our away record against those big teams in the last 5 years is fucking awful.
It's pretty bad,
yeah. We haven't been in the top 16 in 5 years.
Plus, he would go AWOL as well if it was, say, Burnley away. I'm just picking that one at random. He had a thing about the Northwest, and a lot of Arsenal players have had that. To be fair about it.
But he's our highest paid player. He's definitely one of our most skillful players.
Without doubt.
You could not rely on him ever, or very, very rarely in those games. And I think, you know, don't get me wrong, going away to Man City, you're not expecting the result that often. But I've seen us play at United, and United are absolute dog shit. And they have been for a few years now. And, you know, he didn't perform then. You know, but he was part of that team that lost the league to Leicester. So I don't want to put him in too high a regard. Like, he's certainly not in the same league as, say, your Bergkamps, your Henrys.
No, nowhere near.
Even Van Persie, to a certain extent, because he didn't deliver regularly.
That's true.
So he's always sort of done it on his, like you say, on his terms. So, no, I would stick him in the reserves for now. See how he reacts. Like, Arsenal are going to have to pay that contract out. I suspect he won't take any dip. And he's right to do that. I do want to make that clear that I feel that way. He's absolutely within his right to do that.
So what would you do as Arsenal then?
Difficult situation with the whole Sanchez thing.
So say he says, oh, "Okay, I'm not negotiating. I'm gonna sit tight. I don't mind if I don't play. I've got Fortnite after all, and I'm gonna sit tight and I'm gonna take my 350 grand a week or whatever it is, and I'm gonna see out my contract, and then I'll say goodbye, adios." He won't say that because he's German, but whatever it is, Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. You know, yeah, that's the one. And so he says, "Auf Wiedersehen, Pet," and disappears. But is that a better scenario than paying him out the full amount and saying, look, just get lost because we've had enough? Which course of action would you take, given that he may want the full amount? Would you sort of pay it in dribs and, well, it's not really dribs and drabs, is it? It's like a huge torrent of money, you know, disappearing every week. But I mean, I know what I would say from a cash flow situation. I'd say, right, you know, we'll pay him 350 grand to the end of his contract, and then that's the last time we'll erase him from everything concerning Arsenal.
Yeah,
we'll do a big brother on him.
I think you could probably pay him weekly and he not be there. I think that's a possibility.
Like kind of gardening leave, think, like that.
Yeah, they could come to some agreement. But I think the situation is obviously too far gone. And if he doesn't make that squad of 25, which I suspect he won't, then Arsenal, they could say there's no point in you coming to training.
You know, from Ozil's point of view, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever not to negotiate. Because if he negotiates, or his advisors negotiate, because I don't want to blame Ozil entirely for this, because, you know, he's got people that advise him. And those people, you know, if they've got any sense, they would come up with a deal whereby Ozil's going to get most of the money. And then they'll find another club where he can bump up his wages, play football again, which surely he likes doing once in a while. And then he'll end up quids in. Not that he needs it, but, you know, he'll have so much money, he could pay two Gunnosauruses instead of one, you know, if he could just make that move. But, you know, it just seems like he's just being so stubborn. I mean, every time he tries to get the better of the club in a sort of PR situation, he ends up, well, in this case, it's come off worse, really, because you read, what's it called, Le Grove, right? Is it that website? Yeah. And then, you know, the guy on there, I like him quite a lot, as I know you do. And, you know, he was not impressed by the fact that Ozil wants to, you know, pay money for Gunnosaurus when he wouldn't even take a wage reduction. It just seemed like so petty, amongst other things.
Well, I'm on this website now. the words I think he used were like petty. And you know, and it's just childish, isn't it? It just seems like it's like a PR grenade.
Really.
Just throwing a grenade and just seeing what happens. And I think he has, like, he just doesn't care anymore. And what he does, then he's going a very funny way about it, very self-destructive. I think it's very self-destructive of him to do this because I don't see him benefiting from this.
Okay, and talking.
In the short term for the next year or so. I think Arsenal firing Gunnosaurus was poor form.
Really?
Because we had the 55 layoffs, then we had the sort of the scouts, and then the scouts first, then the 55 layoffs, and then the mascot. And you kind of think, well, why don't they just do it all at once?
It would have made more sense. Sort of
he writes it here, goes, Arsenal slow drip of bad news. And it is, isn't it? I love reading him because he's very articulate.
Oh, he is.
With words that I'm a bit jealous of, I have to. But it's true, isn't it? It's absolutely true. It's like, why didn't they all do it at once? And so, Arsenal sometimes do strike me as a bit sort of brain dead when it comes to things like that.
They're not good on PR.
But, it's him doing it is just, just to embarrass Arsenal. Him doing it is just to sort of make Arsenal look bad. And that doesn't sound like sort of someone that he's really, it's not a wise move, I think. So, I do suspect that he knew he wasn't going to make the squad of 25. So that's partly why he did it, really. But, he didn't participate. When Arsenal were on lockdown, he didn't participate in the Zoom calls as much.
Yeah.
And the homework Arteta gave him, and I think that's part of it as well. If you're not willing to put the effort in, Arteta caught coronavirus, caught COVID, back to work. Because he's determined.
He's
got his desire to want to do well. I think people around you showing that same desire, then you'd get rid, aren't you? So,
It's totally understandable. Of course it is. And I was going to say to you, talking of number 10s, Jack Wilshere is available now on a free transfer. What's your view on that? He's 28. Could he do a job for Arsenal on a free? Would you bring him in?
Saliba as well. I think you can talk about Saliba in the same bracket with this one factor. That Wilshere for me is an example of what happens if you get overplayed too young. So he played lots of games when he was very young and he had a series of injuries. And I don't think Arsenal's physio team was particularly awful. I think the style of play that Arsenal had at the time, I thought sort of brought, because we had a lot of possession, that meant we had a lot of tackles going in on our players. And so if you have more tackles, then obviously the chances of injury are higher. But I do think Wilshere was overplayed a lot as a kid. And so when we talk about Saliba, I remember last week we talked about, what are we going to do with him? He obviously hasn't made the squad of 25 for the Europa League. And I said to you, I don't think Arteta rates him yet. And I think he wants to get him experience. And it turned out, he didn't move anywhere in the transfer window. Supposedly, Arsenal are looking at some championship clubs to put him on loan for a season, which you would hope they would be quite selective in that process. But I'm kind of full because I think it will, A, help him with the language and sort of acclimatise to England.
Yeah, for sure.
B, the Championship is a very sort of physical, aggressive league.
Very.
It's a good league. It's not a league full of marks. It's a very good league. You've got people like Joe Gomez who made their way in that league. So it's not a mugs league.
It's like you're playing against Sheffield United every week. That's what it's probably like for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fast, strong, intense sort of team. Look at Leeds.
Yeah.
Leeds you know, they come from the Championship and you wouldn't know it, would you? So it would be a great sort of challenge for him. And I think hopefully he'll sort of slowly get him physically ready, because I don't think he's physically ready yet. Yeah, remember, he's only 19, and he did suffer quite a lot of injuries last year.
He did, yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to sort of go too fast, you know, too soon. So I think it would be a good move for him to do that. Hopefully he'll get some game time and slowly sort of, and Arsenal would have like a loan programme, a loan plan for him that they would want the club to adhere to. Whether the club does adhere to that, of course, is a different matter entirely. As you know, obviously Leeds didn't with Nketiah last year, but that's what they sort of suggest. So I think that's hopefully that will happen. So I think Saliba is definitely one for the future. We spent 27 million on the lad, so Arsenal want him to come good more than anyone. So I feel for Wilshere. It's a sad state of affairs that he's out of the club at 28. Yeah, the man's 28. He's supposed to be coming into his prime years now, and he hasn't got a club.
It's really bizarre, yeah.
I don't think Arsenal will obviously, sign him, but...
Stranger things have happened. Yeah. You know, Team Talk were running that story, and that doesn't mean I trust Team Talk, because I wouldn't be being honest if I said I totally trust Team Talk, but they ran that story that Wilshere may return at Arsenal, and I thought it straight away. And I'm not really sure why. I think there was another player a few years back, but this was under Wenger, who left Arsenal and then sort of returned on a free and played a few games. And I can't remember who it was, but it wouldn't be unprecedented. That's all I'm saying. If it happened.
No, sure.
So it was part of it.
Pires used to come back and train.
Yeah.
With Arsenal. I can't remember who.
I'm pretty sure there was a player. I'm not saying he probably didn't rip up any trees, whoever it was, but somebody came back and then managed to get back in the squad again and played a few games, but not loads. That's my recollection anyway, for what it's worth. But I just
struggle. Well, I suppose with Wilshere, there's no real risk, is there?
Yeah.
Because he's signed on a free. I suppose the only argument would be, I'm not sure what the rules are, because would he take up a space of the 25? I imagine he would. But I always thought if the players were under 21 and homegrown, they don't take up a space. But maybe that rule has changed.
Yeah, it's hard keeping up with all these rule changes.
It's a low risk move, isn't
it? It is, really, yeah. Well, that's what. Yeah. People are saying, give him a deal, like, what do they call it? You know, you get paid per game, whatever that one is, pay per play, rather than a contract. Just if you play, you get paid, and if you don't, you won't. It's simple as that. So, and obviously, you'd think that Wilshere will take a deal like that, but maybe he's got other things going on that we don't know about. But right now, it seems like, if I were Arteta, obviously we don't know the full story about these players and their personalities, but you'd feel that Arsenal should offer Wilshere the opportunity to train with the first team if that's what he wants to do, and then take it from there and just go slowly and see what he's like. You know, how is he playing now? But this is a guy who was at one point rated almost on the same level as Iniesta. I'm not saying I rated him at that level, but he was playing pretty well. Yeah.
Well, I remember when we beat Barcelona at the Emirates, Xavi and Iniesta, he marked both, he bossed both of them.
Yeah.
He even said, this is a special player, this is someone that's... And so he did have all of that potential. And I think it was 2008, 2009, it's very near the end of the season, or one of the last games of the season, we beat Man United at home. I think it was when Fabregas was looking to be leaving. I don't think he was looking to be leaving, but certainly it's like 2009, something like that. We beat United 1-0 at home, and we had Wilshere and Ramsey as our midfielders.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of optimism about both of those players. But this is the future of the Arsenal midfield. So, of course, it's sad what's happened to him. Hopefully he can play somewhere, and he can get his career, maybe not back on track to the high levels that it was, but certainly to something where he's happy again.
And what about obviously we talked a little bit about Torreira, but we haven't mentioned Guendouzi, and again, a podcast wouldn't be complete without mentioning his name. What do you think is going to happen with him? Sounds like he won't. I mean, he's gone off on loan for a year. Do you think he's going to ever come back and restake a claim, or is that it?
I think that one's gone. Honestly, I think because he's got 2 years left on his deal now.
Wow.
So when he comes back next year, and I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe that there's no sort of condition to buy the player at the end of the loan with Hertha Berlin. So I think when he comes back, he'll have a year left. Arsenal can either try and flog him then, or let him go on a free a year later. I think they'll try it. They'll just take anything for him. I really do. Unless he comes back with an attitude shift, and you know he pulls his socks up and he sort of admits he was wrong, I don't see much future for him. He did have a little dig at Arsenal as he left. He said he put something on Twitter along the lines of, "I'm looking forward to playing again."
Oh,
so
yeah.
Kind of, and, do you know what I mean? So I think, yeah, again, he's burning his bridges. Fair play to that. He's 20, but you would think, I've said this before, you know, no one came in for him all summer. Like, we offered him around, and no one came. No one wanted him. So, and it'd be interesting to see as well, because he's got Jens Lehmann has got some sort of role at Hertha.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you can imagine Lehmann throwing him up against a wall if he starts to take the piss.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, yeah, it's a low risk thing. Like, if you, yeah, we're not paying his wages, I believe. So if he cut, yeah, his wages are nothing anyway, really, compared to say,
yeah, of course, yeah.
They're like 40-odd grand, aren't they? So
yeah,
I think it's unlikely he'll come back a changed man. So I think we have to sort of let that one go. But we only paid 7 million for him, so it's not a huge loss in terms of that, and yeah, it's a sad thing because I think it was a good signing by Emery.
Yeah, I think so.
I liked him. I thought he was a good player. Like he had some skill in him in terms of creativity. He was just a bit of an idiot. He was just young. I think he wasn't managed very well. I think when Arteta came in, it was almost too late. Guendouzi was a young lad. I don't think he was sort of coached or mentored very well. If you remember back to that, do you remember, I think it was Emery's first year, that whole laughing gas.
Oh, yeah, of course I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of those.
He was one of them, yeah.
I know. Yeah, he's young. Yeah, I think Lacazette was the leader in that. But, you know, he was always sort of, I think, quite easily led. And I think he did start to believe his own hype after a while. But he was a skillful player. He was a good player. But clearly under Arteta, he didn't put the work in. Yeah, he had a couple chances as well. I think I said to just like, I'm done with you. So we'll have to see what happens. But I suspect he won't come back a changed man, willing to knuckle down and fight for his place, I suspect.
Well, he was making...
I
think, from what I can gather, there was something happened during the Dubai training camp. He was making faces behind Arteta. Probably while Arteta was talking. I mean, and all the players, so it seemed, or nearly all the players were making fun of Emery, and they must have got into that frame of mind where they thought they can make fun of any manager who comes in to take his place. And obviously, when Arteta came in, things changed quite dramatically, and Guendouzi didn't. That's my take on it as an outsider looking in. I just felt...
Yeah, no, I would agree.
Yeah.
That's how I viewed it.
I think...
He was young.
Yeah.
And he thought he could sort of do what he wanted, just like he did with Emery. Mm. Emery had no respect for those players. You could see those players. But he had no respect for them because he wasn't very good at his job.
Yeah, it seemed that way.
Let's make it absolutely clear. Like, the players didn't know what they were doing a lot of the time.
That confusion didn't help.
In terms of on the pitch... And you can see the difference. And I think that's part of the Arteta sort of effect. It's that he sits with each player, he gives them responsibilities and jobs, and goes, this is what I want you to do on the pitch, this is what I want you to do. And he gives it clear, concise, detailed instructions, which the players respond to.
Mm.
And when they do what he wants and is successful, then of course it's the momentum sort of builds. He wasn't clear, the players didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, when they tried to play out from the back, it was a disaster. Arsenal now can play out reasonably well from the back.
it's better. It is so much better than it was, without a doubt. They seem just a bit calmer.
It's not.
But it's better. And it has potential.
As messy as it was at the very end, we did play out from the back. So, a goal against, I think it was Fulham.
Yeah.
We played out from the back. So, the third goal. So, I think Guendouzi, I think he's another one. I said to a friend of mine, this year I really hope we get top four. I think if we get top four, I think Arteta will sign a new deal. Because I think, the Partey thing, just to go back to that, for me that seems like, I don't think that deal would have gone through if Arteta hadn't had such an influence on the team that he's had, and, we won a trophy. We got into Europe, which wasn't expected. We won a trophy, which definitely wasn't expected. And, we started playing good football, and we've given, the whole club is on a massive high at the minute. We've given the fans something to be sort of happy about. We've beaten all the top teams already this year in, granted, cup competitions, but, still in big games, we've beaten those teams. So I think the board and Kroenke have kind of gone, we're going to ride this. We're going to sort of help with the sort of the good mood. And I think that's partly, I think they gave money to Arteta for Partey. Because I don't think the club were dishonest. Maybe they were from a very strong negotiating position. Oh, we don't have any money. But I think they gave him a bit of a thumbs up. They're happy with how things are going. So.
Yeah, and it's funny, the Kroenkes actually dipping into their pockets, because everyone was saying, no, they won't. They won't be prepared to do that. But suddenly, after taking money out of the club, allegedly, from things that were mentioned years back, consultancy fees.
From what I've read, the Swiss Ramble is an island, so it's insane how much effort he puts into.
Yeah, it is. I've read it sometimes. Yeah.
The money that Kroenke's taken out, we're only talking a few million, which is still wrong, but it's not huge amounts of money. It's not Glazer United.
It's not on that level, no.
They remortgaged the club against themselves or whatever it was that they did and instantly saddled United with about £1 billion worth of debt. It's not like that. But certainly, you're right, they don't put that much money in. But I'd like to sort of, on that point, Arsenal have spent money. The last few transfer windows.
That's true, they have.
We always had this idea that Wenger was frugal and he didn't spend much money, and that certainly is true.
It looks that way.
The last few years, I would say starting from when we signed Ozil and then we signed Sanchez the year after, Arsenal have spent money. Arsenal have spent lots of money. And the reason why we're brassing, or apparently were brassing this summer, was because of the large amount of money that we spent last year. We spent huge amounts last year. We spent 27 on Saliba, 72 on Pepe. And I know that's over 5 years, but we spent huge amounts of money last year. So that's why we're brassing this year. So I'm very pleased that Arsenal has sort of managed to sort of do some sort of accounting flexibility and get that money and get Partey signed. But we can definitely, in my opinion, we can write off the January transfer window. The only thing that's going to happen in January is we might get rid of a couple of players.
Yeah, it does seem to be panning out that way. What with some summer transfer business going through the way it has, and I think it sounds like, well, you never know. You just never know, because Kroenke has got deep pockets.
I suspect we won't see. Yeah, I'd love it if we got a 10 in. I think a 10 would be that one. Again, another big piece of the puzzle.
Oh, for sure,
Because if you think about it, Partey is definitely, he's a player for now, isn't he? He's not one for the future. I think Gabriel is one for the future, but I think it's not going to take him that long before he becomes a now player. You've got Aubameyang, who's a now player. Leno's a now player. We're not, we're filling our team with players that are now players, do have a good future ahead of them, but are already performing at a high level.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I guess we better leave it now. Just before you go, I just wanted to tell you, I don't know if I've got news to tell you or not, but there have been a few people entering the live studio, whatever that means. So I want to say hello to Jimmy. Jimmy, just in case he's out there.
Hello.
And Vinny as well. And Don JC, was it JCA, is out there as well. I don't know if they're listening or not, because when I clicked on listeners, and the other one was Katri Sandy. All these people entered the live studio while we were doing this. So I want to say thanks, just in case you are listening. And if you're not listening, yes, try and make sure you do.
Fantastic.
Right, we'll stop it there then. But thanks again, and till the next time then. Adios, amigos.
No problem. Yep, see you next time.
See you next time.